Good evening. If you would, open up your Old Testaments to Hosea. It's a little bitty book tucked back in there. It's in the later part of the Old Testament, the book of Hosea. While you're turning there, I just want to kind of set this up. Hosea was a prophet, and he was sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet of Israel, where Jeremiah was referred to as the weeping prophet of Judah. Hosea was the weeping prophet of Israel. And this is a lesson to the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes that had strayed from God's word. They had strayed in everything of their worship, their attitude, their heart, and they will just get worse. They will eventually be taken over by the Assyrians, which were a very fierce people. They were historically some of the first people to have ever worked iron and had iron tools and weapons, which was so far superior to the brass and the bronze of other people. And they were feared. They will be taken over eventually by the Assyrians. And this is a story of people straying from God. They will set up centers of worship, not so much to worship God, but more of convenience. Rather than going and making the effort to continue to go to Jerusalem and to worship God like they had been commanded, they will set up separate places of worship that were not commanded. They will worship in ways that were not commanded. They will do sacrifices and practices that were not commanded, all out of convenience, because they wanted to. And that's the setting for this. And what I'd like to do is for us to read Hosea 4 and chapter 5. They're relatively short chapters. In fact, the whole book is not very long. But starting in Hosea 4, verse 1, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." This itself is almost a threefold sin. The fact that there's no truth, there's no mercy, and there's no knowledge. I compare that. I look at what goes on around us. And this is it. There's no truth. And that's the way, as we kind of talked about this morning in Bible class. You know, the way, the truth, and then no mercy, the heart. You know, you can follow, we as Christians can follow the right way, but if we don't have the right heart, Jesus said to worship in spirit and in truth. And here we see Hosea saying, there is no truth, there is no mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Those are strong accusations. Goes on to say, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. There's no restraining these people from sin. There's absolutely no restraint. There's no border to the sin that they're going to commit. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet shall also stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If that verse alone in the whole Bible, if that doesn't encourage us to just dig deep in the Word, to study our Bibles, to be Bible people, that verse alone, which, I mean, and it doesn't stand alone, but that one verse there, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They will eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. We've talked many times about there's a difference in stumbling. There's a difference in sinning and repenting and living in sin. A big difference. Jesus, Daryl brought up this morning in Bible class, Matthew 7:23 about, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those of you that live in sin. It's an ongoing thing. Not a stumble here. Which one of us don't stumble? Amen. You know, I stumble so much. I got scabs on my knees. I fall down so much. But there's a difference in sinning and living in sin. And here it says, they have set their heart on iniquity. That's their goal. They're looking for it. That's their path. In verse 9, and it shall be like people, like priest. So I will punish them for their ways and I will reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase. Because they have ceased obeying the Lord. The idolatry, verse 11, harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols. I find that so odd. They seek counsel from wooden idols that man has made. Go down and bow down before. Ask counsel from these carved images. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of idolatry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offered sacrifices on the mountaintops and burned incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. They were taking the idolatry from all around them. And I think the big fancy $2 word, religious synchronicity, where they were blending the cultures from around them and taking a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and trying to be like everybody else around them. And under these oaks and poplars and terebinths, in these groves were planted and they were burning incense. These groves were for the bride of Baal. That's what they were for. And there would be priestly harlots committing idolatry and adultery for their religion in these groves. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Their sin itself is their punishment. I'm not going to punish them. Their sin. Their husbands and wives are committing adultery on each other. They have strayed far. Their sin is the punishment. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. And in not too distant future, they're going to be taken over by the Assyrians. And literally run roughshod over. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, nor swear an oath saying, as the Lord lives. Basically, when you say those, it's just going in one ear and out the other. Well, don't even bring the Lord into it, because you don't mean anything. You don't mean it by that. This Beth-Aven had been changed. It was originally Bethel, which means house of God. And they've changed the name to Beth-Aven, which is house of idols. I mean, that's how these people had changed through their practice and their participation in this idol worship. That's the situation they've gotten themselves into. Verse 16, for Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Let them alone. They will get theirs. And I look at how appropriate this is. It's not unique to just this period of time. This was in the 700s AD, BC. And so it's not unique to just this period. I see this very much alive today in the religious world. And then going into chapter 5, hear this, O priest, take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment, because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Though I rebuke them all, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst. The spirit of harlotry. That's what they think about. The idea of it is in their midst. And they do not know the Lord. This area it's where the Samaritans are going to emerge. And it's going to be these people that they think that they're worshiping God the right way, and they're the ones that are going to want to help rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and they're not going to be allowed to. Did this come off? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll speak up. Verse 5. The pride of Israel testifies to its face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbled with them. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Blow the ram's horn in Gilgal, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked by human precept. That's an interesting verse there. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked by human precept. I don't know about you. I will assume. I always think you do that either. I will assume, though, that you probably become further knowledgeable on a topic and maybe understand something now that you didn't maybe a couple of years ago. And just because you didn't understand something fully at that time, you're still striving. I'm still striving. You understand things better. This is because he willingly walked by human precept. We want to walk in these ways. We want to follow these pagan idolatry methods of worship on purpose. Verse 12, therefore I will be to Ephraim like moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Gareth. Yet he cannot cure you, nor heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear them and go away. I will take him away, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place, till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. As bad as the story is, we see you can always turn. However far you get from the path, you are one step away from repentance. That's all you've got to do. As far as you get. Not that this is encouraging people to pray, but at any given moment, you can turn back to God. And I will return again to my place so they acknowledge their offense. The prodigal son. He didn't return, as it says, when he came to his senses. The father, the other brother, other people could have talked to them blue in the face. Don't go. You need to go home. It was when he realized that he needed to return to the Father. When they acknowledge their offense, and then they seek God again, that's when God will take them. But not now. God is hurting. I don't know. You're doing things wrong. I cannot accept this worship. Because you wanted to be convenient. Oh, we'll worship up here in that. We'll worship because it's more convenient than going all the way to Jerusalem. We'll worship here. Well, we're throwing in, we want to be accepting to the people around us. So we want to incorporate their forms of worship. Yeah. And God turned his back. Until they acknowledge their offense and serve to see them. This speaks to me today,
amen.
as it did to the people in Hosea. Mm-hmm. To not turn from God. To worship God and have a heart for God, not a heart for iniquity. To not play the harlot with God's name. And I say, I'm encouraged by this. I see so many applications today for us. Hopefully you've gotten a little bit out of that also. And again, if you don't, I do. As we go into this new week, as we go to work tomorrow, as we go to school tomorrow, as we go to the grocery store tomorrow, as we go wherever tomorrow, we're going to be in the midst of the people around us, of the nations around us. We have to be there, but we don't have to miss. We don't have to play the part with God's name and blend and mix and accept and transform ourselves to fit into their life. The invitation is always open for baptism, for prayers, for repentance, for people wanting to identify with worshiping with us here at South Dallas. The invitation is always open. We never like to leave an assembly without offering it. If you need to respond to the invitation for any need, please do so while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's pray.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening, I'll be somewhere, listening for my name.
Just a quick announcement before Preston dismisses us. Next Sunday evening, we're going to do a Praise to Jesus evening. Daryl and I are going to team up. Daryl will lead the songs. I'll lead the scripture readings. And we'll have some prayers, and it'll just be a Praise Jesus kind of night. So we want to make sure everybody comes back. Friends or acquaintances, if you want to invite them, we would appreciate them being here also. It should be a nice praise-type night.
Close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, great and glorious God Almighty, we are truly humbled and thankful for the opportunity that we've had to gather together today as your children, as brothers and sisters, to glorify your name, sing praises unto you, to read from your word, the book of life. Father, we're thankful for the words that have been recorded for us. We're mindful of, and we have an understanding that there is consistency from the beginning to the end. Father, we recognize the picture that is painted of you and your mercy in the Bible. And as we read the words of the prophet, we recognize that you are long-suffering, but you cannot stand sin. Mm-hmm. But Father, we're thankful that when we do come to our senses, when we understand and accept and seek your knowledge, that you will be there ready and willing to accept us, to forgive us of our sins when we ask for forgiveness, to overlook our sins when we repent of them. And Father, we're just so thankful that you have provided a way of salvation through the blood of your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we're thankful for your love for us. We're thankful for Christ Jesus, for his obedience to you when he was willing to leave your side. He was willing to leave the unknown glories of heaven to come to this earth where he suffered. Father, he suffered and died. Mm-hmm. He took our sins upon him as he went to that cruel cross. Father, we're just so thankful that through the watery grave of baptism, as we enter into it and we rise anew, that our sins have been washed away, mm-hmm. that we have been found acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you for this place of worship. We thank you for all of those who participate in serving you, from our Bible class teachers to our song leaders to those who work tirelessly behind the scenes. Father, we know that there are so many workers in your kingdom, and we are thankful for them and thankful for the opportunity that we have to serve. We ask that you will watch after those who are not here this evening, whether it's through sicknesses that they are struggling with. Father, we ask that you will bless them and be with them and care for them. Or, Father, whether it's because of a sickness of their heart, spiritual diseases that cause them to lose faith and to not see the importance of worshiping you and serving you, Father, we ask that you will continue to be long-suffering, that you will give them the time that they need to repent, to come to their senses, and to come back to you, knowing that you are ready and waiting and willing to accept. Father, and we ask the same thing for us, that when we stumble and we fall, that we might recognize that you are the light to our path, that your word lights our ways, and that we always have the opportunity to come back to you if we have hearts of repentance. Father, we're so thankful for your love and for your mercy. We ask you to continue to bless us, to watch over us, to forgive us of our sins. We ask all these things through Christ Jesus' name. Amen.